Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, that's great. Love that announcement.
It's awesome. Dynamic duo.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Hey, we're going to have a family meeting. And Scott said, hey, when you say that, it sounds like everybody's in trouble. And I'm like, well, no one's in trouble. He goes, well, then tell them they're not in trouble. I'm like, okay, it's a good one. It's a good meeting because we get to celebrate a lot of things that God has been doing. At Rock Harbor, missions trip, we just got back from Thailand. Well, we, 16 people, got back from Thailand late Friday night. But there's always something going. Every night of the week, something's taking place, sharing the gospel around the world. So we wanted to take an opportunity to strategically a couple times a year just say, here's what's going on, we're excited about. And one of those things is the fact that we are very, very, very close to building this phase debt-free because of your generosity. We are within 5% of everything being paid cash. That 5%, it means this. When you hear $12.5 million, you're like, wow. In cash, absolutely. Minus $700,000 that people keep giving every single month. Many of you, you weren't around when we did something greater and made that commitment, but you're giving to it now, and we just want to say thank you. Also, our regular giving that's just general that comes in every single week. Some of you do that reoccurring. Some of you do it monthly. That is above last year by a little bit over 20%. So can we just say thank you for investing in the eternal work of God in finances? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Lots of different things going on. And you go, this building over here, I'm just curious, how many of you were here before this physical location was here? You were with us at the high school. How many of you were here? Okay, lots of you. But a lot of us were new, and you didn't hear the whole vision of what we were going to do when we started talking about building and having a permanent location. And one of those things is we wanted to have a space for our middle school, and we wanted to have a space for all the different ministries that take place on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. But who knew building buildings? It can be expensive, right? And so we couldn't build everything we wanted to build to begin with. So we had a phase two and a phase three plan that we were going to do. And because of your generosity, we're actually take phase two and three and do it all at the same time. And so over here, yes, it's going to be awesome. And the hope is that that facility will be done by February of 2025. We were pushing for Christmas. And sometimes in construction, it doesn't always go like you think it's going to, believe it or not. And so we're a little bit behind on a couple of different things, but what will take place over there is there'll be middle school space, and there'll be a couple of different services where middle school will meet over there. There's 16 community group rooms, and that's how we do ministry. We go from a large group setting into a small group, right? It's how you make a larger church feel small. You got to do it in smaller groups. And so for our middle school and all of our ministries, they'll be able to do that on Monday night at Reengage and Tuesday night at The Porch and Wednesday night at Anchor and Thursday night at Regen. And so we're just so excited about the conversations that will happen in those rooms. It's not just about bricks. It's not about sticks, right? It's about lives being changed. And we continue to hear stories of life change all the time. And that's what we believe is going to happen in phase two.
Yes. And that's the vision we have as a church, is to gather, scatter, matter. And so we gather in a large group environment, scatter, as you hear, in those smaller, like small group rooms, and then matter. We want to make a difference that will change lives, and we believe that space will do just that. And so thank you for being part of it. Also, parking. We have been approved by the city
for this service, they know.
This is awesome.
Parking's amazing
at Rock Harbor Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes,
they know.
It
is. They know.
But we have been approved by the city, 132 more parking spaces. So you'll see that right there. We're going to parallel.
There are people that have never said amen in church before.
They just
said amen.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, God's word is true.
Yes.
We're getting new parking. Yes!
So, very excited. We're going to be parallel parking on Chinden as well.
It'll be great.
No, I'm kidding. But one thing we've talked about since day one, because when we purchased the property, we had a right-in, right-out on the west side of our property. Well, when it rezoned, it was like, that's not legal. That's 55 miles an hour. And so we have exhaustively continued to go to the city and say, we would need one more point of ingress, egress. Well, unfortunately, they have blocked Scott's phone number and his email because of the amount of times, but they've said, hey, we cannot do it. And so we're unable to get that. We've had a lot of people like, why don't we just have one more thing? And, why don't we do a bypass that comes over?
Agreed.
And,
yeah. Why don't we do a parking garage? Because it costs $10 million. Like, we looked at all those things.
Yeah, we've looked at everything. And so, unfortunately, we're unable to have that, but the new parking We'll add to it. They've already started. They already had the equipment out, those cameras that they're on the property. I just wave at them every time. I thought it was the Google guys. But anyways, it's going to be happening July and possibly finished by August.
So, that's the hope. Yep. When you come back from sabbatical, like, you have a whole new parking lot. It's going to be great. We're going to love that. Right. And a new church building. It's going to be great. So pray for us this summer. We have a lot of work to do. But also, as we think about that, we had an opportunity a few weeks ago to do what we called a Night of Hope. It was in Aberdeen, Idaho. And some of you are like, hey, Scott, where's Aberdeen? Well, Aberdeen's by Pocatello. And you're like, hey, where's Pocatello? It's east. That's where it's at, right? And we had a family that said, hey, we'd like to do some kind of a service where we can just share the gospel. And when someone says, hey, will you come and will you share the gospel? You just say yes, and we'll figure out the details later. And so what it looked like, it was in this big white barn, and there were about 125, 130 people there, and some of the residents went, and a few of us went down and just shared basically a service, just kind of like we do on the weekend here at Rock Harbor. And as we were there talking, many of them were like, would you guys ever consider coming here to Aberdeen and planting a Rock Harbor? And we're like, we'll pray about that, which that's Christian speak for, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But we started to make us think, like, what is our mission? You know, Acts 1:8 says that we're to go to our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when we look at Meridian, we kind of go, hey, this is kind of like our Jerusalem. We look at the Treasure Valley, and we go, this is kind of like our that's the Samaria, or Judea, and then our Samaria is the whole state of Idaho. And we've had a heart to reach the whole state of Idaho for a long time, but how do we do that? And so we said, what if we start doing different Night of Hopes in different parts of the state? Because we know have people who they watch online. Some of you have friends, you have relatives who they watch every single week, and they watch Rock Harbor, and they're like, we'd love to have something like this. And so we're just praying with open hands, like, God, what would you have us to maybe do next and go to different places?
Yeah, and there, with that, our desire has always been to steward our state well. You also forgot to mention Chubbuck.
I did.
We got to talk about Chubbuck.
Okay, so this graphic right here. Like, somebody's got to go to Chubbuck, right? Because there's 16,666 people.
666.
Either somebody needs to have a baby. Or somebody needs to die. Something, I don't know. But there needs to be a church in Chubbuck. It just feels like, that feels right before the Lord.
It's wrong. It's just Chubbuck. Chubbuck.
I know.
Trevor, is that you? God calling you there again?
You feel
calling you back? Yeah. Remember that one time? No. Okay. Okay. But we want to steward our state well. Also steward the valley well. We used to have another location. We've been able to plant two churches. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to plant churches. Yeah. But we know this. This fall or next spring, we will probably have another Rock Harbor location. And telling you that and sharing that with you is because some of you are going, hey, we want to be part of something. We want to go. It would be awesome if we had something in this area. This would be amazing. And so it's not like we're saying, hey, where should we go? Church, please tell us. Mm-hmm. We have data of where people are coming from, where people are watching from. But our desire is to just have open hands right now. We've looked at multiple properties. We're praying through things, asking God, where is it that you want us? Not where would be a place that I want to be, where should we be, but more like where does God want us to be? So join us in prayer for that and just be prepared. It's going to be an exciting year watching God multiply and continue to reach people all throughout our valley.
And if you have an extra 10 or 20 acres in like Caldwell or CUNA or East Boise, let us know. Like, you know, you might have that laying around. This could happen. You never know what God might do with something like that. And it's one of the reasons why we continue to do video teaching throughout here, because those campuses, they're going to look just like this campus. The only difference will be is that the teaching will all be done via video, but they'll have their own live worship, own our kids, own Anchor, own Slingshot. Everything will be just the same. And so we're so grateful that all of you are here today. Thanks for being here.
Well, I'm excited to be able to jump right into our intentional series. Now, this series was literally supposed to be like 4 weeks long, maybe 5, and then God spoke. And I believe as I was studying through Acts 9, which is what we've based a lot of what we've talked about, is it's like there's something unique here. Because if we're talking about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's be intentional as a church. We've talked from the very beginning when we started as a church. We want to be intentional with what we're doing. Like, I remember my mentor, Phil Eastman. He's part of our church plant at my house, and Chris Ann and I are sitting there, and she's on the whiteboard. Well, it was a flip chart. But anyway, she's up there writing in her, you know, perfect font that she can write in. Mine can't be read by most. People think it's Hebrew. And she's writing stuff, and we're talking about like love and lead one another to be devoted followers of Jesus. And we're taking things directly from the early church in Acts 2, and we're totally stealing the words of Scripture to write a purpose statement, a mission statement, our vision, our values, and all of those things. And part of it was we want to be intentional. We want it to be clear what God has done for us. We want the gospel to be clear at our church. And I am studying through this and preaching on, you know, marriage, and we talked on parenting a week, and we talked on faith, and we talked on relationships. And I'm like, I can't get past this and jump right back into 1 Peter without addressing chapter 9, verse 31 of Acts. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. See, that's the kind of church we need to be. That's the kind of church we desired to plant. That's the kind of church that has absolutely radically rescued and saved my life. I absolutely love the church. And there's no perfect church, but I read this and say, and they had peace. They were unified together. Even in the middle of persecution, they built one another up. They walked in the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it multiplied. The church multiplied. Getting to be part of two church plants now as a church. To send out Stonehill in 2016. To send out Redeemer Church in 2022. 200, 300, 350 people saying, hey, we want to go. We want to be sent. What can we do? How can we reach people with the gospel? What an awesome privilege it is to be part of that, to see God using these churches in our specific area, not just sending people around the world or sending them far enough away that they won't take people. These are our people, not their people. No, it's like, hey, we have got to have open hands. Let's watch people be rescued with the life-changing message of Jesus. Just like the Harrington family was rescued in Garden City, Kansas, 40-some years ago when my parents came to Christ. Because there was a church in Garden City, Kansas that I grew up in, and I loved that church. Praise God, I don't go to that church no more. I didn't love it that much. But to be part of something that was so incredible, and then to serve in student ministry, my wife and I in our first role in youth ministry, and even in college, we were college kids serving in, like, our kids, but it was called Junior Church. And what a beautiful church it was, and it was just a different and diverse. I mean, think about the church. Look around at the people around you. It's a random group of people. There's a bunch of weirdos around you, strange people, but God brings a bunch of random, real stinking people together for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to him. God, when people say things like, hey, I want a New Testament church. You know, God gave his only son on the cross to die for our sin, to be raised to life in this church when people are like, I want to be part of a New Testament church. What does that even mean? Well, it's a church that's thriving, a church that's growing, a church that's making sacrifice, a church that wasn't perfect, but they were founded on the diligent hard work of there's persecution coming. We're going to have to bind together. We have to meet one another's needs. We have to live in the light of eternity. There's things that are happening. There's hard things. The New Testament church came up underneath opposition. Like, that's what we need to be. We need to be there for one another. We need to raise up one another, encourage one another, and understand, like, you're going to be misunderstood. That's what the New Testament church is. That's what it really looks like for people to bond together, even though very, very different. But God does a work through us. Yes, an organization, but way more importantly, an organism. And the body of Christ. Each one of us having different giftings. No one person more important than the next person. We all have different giftings. We come together, we serve together, we minister together. We're engaged together. We're gathering and fellowshipping and eating together and spending time together, and we're making sacrifice serving one another. Our mission statement as a church is to love and lead one another, to be devoted followers of Jesus. That word devoted, we stole right from Acts 2. Has a Greek meaning behind it. Loving as Christ did, leading second. With what purpose? To be disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Acts 2, verse 41. Now we are going to come back to Peter. We kind of put him on a shelf for a little bit. These next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the purpose of the church. I couldn't get past this verse, and I couldn't get past what takes place later in Acts 9 as we started this 4 weeks ago, and I'm like, man, there's intentionality here, and the Holy Spirit comes in and says, please address the church. Please address what it's supposed to look like. Please address my desire for it, not what culture has currently made it. Please address devoted what it means to be committed to one another and to look at this example. So May 26th, we'll get back to 1 Peter. He can chill for a little bit. But it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. How many of you? That was then. That was the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls added, and they were baptized that day. How many of you, you or someone in your family, has been baptized since you began attending Rock Harbor Church? Just raise your hand. Look at the hands around. Almost 50% in every single service have been baptized. Can we celebrate that Jesus Christ still saves lives? Can we celebrate the fact that people are still obedient to the fact that Jesus Christ did something and we're to mimic, to follow him? And people still say, I want to follow Jesus. Because we live in a culture that wants to follow whatever will get attention, whatever gets notoriety, whatever gets clicks or likes or attention or money or whatever it is. But to say this might be something that may bring some persecution upon me, I'm devoted to him first and foremost, verse 42, and they devoted themselves, we stole that right from the Bible, I think God's okay with it, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. You know what the apostles' teaching was? They were eyewitnesses of Jesus. So what they're teaching is what they saw, the words and works of Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves to that, to fellowship, breaking bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were unified, different, yet unified. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and once again breaking bread. It mentions food two times. Amen? Amen. That's good. And in their homes. And by the way, if you decide to go to the 8 o'clock, there are donuts at the 8 o'clock. Pray about it. The Spirit of the Lord works through the gluten that's at that service. And so I would encourage you to please be there. If you're gluten-free, we'll pray for you. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. 3,000 people over this one day. Boom. All of a sudden, it went from like these little house churches to like now there are 3,000 people, and they're putting together lots of house churches. This is the multiplication. When you read, it was built up and they multiplied. They had the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They walked in the fear of the Lord, and they had peace amongst themselves. The miraculous was happening. Miracles were being performed. People were selling things and meeting each other's needs. They were coming together. They had everything to fight for, and it was for eternity. They were simply spending time together. It wasn't like, hey, we all come only at this time. They were literally doing life together, many of them being persecuted, kicked out of their homes because they didn't worship traditional Judaism, because they had broken away and they were following the way of Jesus, who was a Jew, but said it's not about the religious, it's about the relationship. And so here is the teaching. You don't have to cling to the old sacrifices and the old ways of doing things. No, this is beautiful. There was a picture there, but the Messiah has come. And so now they're gathering together and God is doing an amazing work. And you're going, that's revival. Why did revival happen? Because there was a devotion to be devoted, proscartario, to be loyal, to be committed, to not desert one another. That's a definition of proscartario, the word devoted that we use. Don't desert one another. I would never desert a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ. But if we're devoted, what does our attendance really look like? Because people that claim that they are devoted followers of Jesus, they attend church 1.6 times a month. I am devoted to Jesus Christ. 1.6 times a month, I gather together with other believers. That's a different level of devotion. There's a desertion that's there on the other 3.4 times when there is a 5-Sunday month. But that's, I mean, to say, and it's even less than half. That's not devoted. There's a different definition. So we have to say, okay, what did Jesus desire? What does God's word say? What did Jesus Christ die for? It's the church. When you look and it says this church that would be built up, not even the gates of hell could stand against it. So how do we fight for one another? How do we battle for one another? Well, there has to be a devoted commitment to Jesus. There has to be a devotion to one another and then his mission. Now I want to read a list of things that is a survey of people's personal expectations of what a church should look like and could look like. These are people's personal expectations, okay? It needs to be a good service. Not too long, not too short. There needs to be multiple ministries for my family. I would prefer a creative and relevant message from the pastor. Good luck with that one. Style of music is very important to me. There's a few different styles. I don't know if you know that. People we can relate to. I need to be able to look around and see people just like me. Good parking. Churches with bad parking are so annoying. They're the worst. A clean facility. Coffee. I mean, if we're going to be somewhere more than an hour and 15 minutes, better have coffee, right? Childcare. I want someone to take care of my kids so I can focus. I need that time to focus. And not too much talk about money. Those are personal expectations that people have of churches. Now, what if we looked at a list about biblical commands of a church? These are two different lists. A biblical command of a church is to love one another. Love one another in hard times, in difficult times, in good times. When there's joy, that joy is shared. When there's sorrow, that burden is borne by one another. To visit orphans and widows. That's a biblical command of the church, to visit orphans and widows, those without a family, those that have endured loss, those that are without. And it's not just a ministry to start, it's a people to be. Biblical command. Make disciples that make disciples. That's a biblical command. We're supposed to make disciples, not just so that they get an education and better understanding the Word of God, no, so that they can then go and teach someone else likewise, and then that person would teach someone else, 2 Timothy 2:2. Bearing one another's burdens. That's difficult because it's kind of hard to be around those EGR people, those extra grace required people. I don't want to bear their burdens. I want to bear burdens that are, they're not really kind of burdens. It's more of a prayer request. It's not going to really require me following up much on this. It's not going to cost me much. I'm looking for easier people to be around, right? People that look just like us. Do not forsake the gathering together. That's a biblical command. Like we're supposed to gather, scatter, matter. Each week we long for, even more so as we see the day approaching, meaning I'm glad you're here today, I'm glad you tuned in online, but next week is just as or more important for you to tune in, for you to be engaged in biblical community. To be generous and meet one another's needs. That's a biblical command. Not ring up the church and say, what can the church do about this? But before we do that, like we stop and we go, hey, honey, what can we do? What could I do? You have a friend. Maybe you're part of our young adult ministry, The Porch, and you hear that somebody has a need, and instead of going, man, who is it out there that could really help? You go, okay, what could I do? I couldn't do all of this, but they're going through something really difficult. The church that Jesus Christ built was the one they sold their possessions and they gave to everyone as they had need. That's a biblical command. And then they also admonished one another. Well, no one likes that one. Who wants to be corrected? Who wants to be told, I know you guys are living together and you're not married, and I know that the Bible says this, but we've had people literally say, I'm never coming back to Rock Harbor Church because you won't do my wedding because we are living together and we don't want to turn from that sin, but we would love to have a pastor and a church represented as we go before all that love us, but we're not turning from any of that. And we're saying, if you want the blessing of God, you've got to choose the blessing of God. And somehow that is a judgmental church. We're supposed to admonish one another. We're supposed to say, hey, you know, I know you don't mean anything by that and you're just venting and it's tough, but I want to be careful here because it's getting into the lane of gossip. I'm not going to let you just keep complaining about this, but hey, how can we help? How can we change this? Or hey, I notice your countenance is down. What's really going on? We're supposed to bear a burden for one another. We're supposed to admonish one another. Those are biblical commands, not like, is it just the music that I would like? Because see, look at these two lists. Here's the reality. Most of us, we're all about this. Like, if this church, whatever the church is, doesn't have these things, I don't feel like the Lord has called me to be part of that body of Christ. We say stuff like that. Now, is it important to have a clean facility? Yes. Should a church try to have parking. Yeah, as much as they can. Do you understand that there's urban churches out there that literally have zero parking stalls and they figure it out? Zero. They don't have 668 like we currently do. They have zero. So they know they have to walk 10 blocks. And a shuttle would be nice in the wintertime. And I'm not making any justification for what we're doing. We want to be very wise about it. But we also didn't know all you people would show up. We literally thought we were going to go from four services to two services. We were at four at the high school when we were portable for 9 years. And some of you say things like, I remember when we were portable. Did you ever drag one of those boxes through the snow, uphill both ways to your kneecaps? If not, you don't remember portable. And watch them tip over, and all of the little treasures and TV and all the things we have for the children just went and spilled out on the ground. And we wept over it, prayed, raised it back to life and put it back in the pod. That's being portable. But we look at things and like, we were waiting until you guys got a building before we attended. It sounds like list number one. It really does sound like list number one. But this list right here, man, this is the body of Christ. You know one thing I didn't even mention here? I didn't even mention false teaching. Do you understand that there are churches that are teaching a false gospel? They have elevated a person to a position they should never be in. Jesus Christ should be the senior pastor, but they'll elevate a person, they'll elevate a ministry, they'll elevate something. There's some motivation. They don't love people. They use people. They love money. They don't use money. And the next thing you know, you're going, that is not a biblical church. That's not a biblical command. What are you building? Are you building your own kingdom? The churches that say, oh, no, you need to do this sacrament. You need to do this. In order, you have to do these different things. And it's like, no, we're supposed to admonish one another and love one another and not forsake the gathering of ourselves and make disciples. And we get caught up in all these other things. And this isn't to make any one of us feel guilty. It's for us to feel motivated, to say, I want a revival to happen. And revival doesn't happen because a church gets its stuff together, because the church is made up of people. And it's not the organization, it's an organism. And every part to that body is important. And every gifting is important. And it comes down to, are we willing to do the difficult and hard work? Are we okay with being spectators? Are we ready to get on the field? Are we going to be a fan or are we going to be a follower? And there's a big difference. The follower, they're on the field, they're engaged, it's costing them something. How can we say we follow Jesus, but we're unwilling to give anything of ourselves? I follow Jesus, and you formed and fashioned and put the church that you like together, and you took a little bit of this. You go, I kind of attend service here, but I kind of do this over here, and I kind of do this, and I kind of like to invest. When I give, I want it to be somewhere, and I want to help this missionary and this over here, and I give a little bit to my church kind of here and there, but there's all these other things because I want to be the center of it. When Christmas comes around, I help somebody, and we look at it and go, wow, we built our own kingdom. You built your own kingdom. Congratulations. And instead going, you know what, day by day, we're going to gather together. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to meet the needs of one another. We're going to invest and we're going to invite. We're not going to just bring people in to hear a gospel. No, we're going to take a gospel to the people because we're on a field. We're not in a stand that we decide to show up 1.6 times every single month. No, we say, I can't wait to be together the next time. Because there's sometimes I'm being ministered to and there's sometimes I'm doing the ministering. But God, please use me. Don't let anything stand in the way. Don't let my fickle commitment stand in the way of the fullness of what you want. How many of you have been to a family gathering lately, like a family reunion? Raise your hand. In the last 2 to 5 years. There's a reason we don't do those all the time. They're a lot of work. They're a lot of work. And there's some people, there's a handful of people that do all of the work. And then you got Lazy Larry. You know Lazy Larry. He shows up and he's like, we should do this more often. This was a blast. And what we know is Lazy Larry didn't order the chicken. He didn't bring a dish to share. He didn't reserve the shelter. You think he might live in the shelter. You're like, bro, I think he lived here over the weekend. You smell it. You smell like Settlers Park. You got Show Up Sam that just shows up and maybe brings a lawn chair for himself and the kids and go, oh no, go get it. Go fill your pockets, kids. You guys, what are you going to do with all these leftovers? You guys know Show Up Sam. And I feel bad picking on the guys, so let's just pick on Carol. You know the one, could have had some more macaroni salad, Carol. Could have brought a little bit more. We should have had a bounce house for the kids. And if your name's Karen, I was giving you the week off, just so you know. But you know, it's always like the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and blah, blah, blah. And you go, you stop for a second and go, what the heck is going on? There's a few people that did a lot of things. And there's a big difference between a buffet and a potluck. A buffet, you pay money and you can eat all that you want. A potluck, everybody brings something. I grew up in church that had potlucks. And I remember looking forward to them. And about 5 years ago, someone told me, they were like, I'm like, yeah, like, we got to get together and people, everybody bring a dish. We were talking about something. And they're like, do you really want a dish from old cat lady? I'm like, cat lady? What if her cats are on the counter? I'm like, what? And then I started to remember. I remember flossing with a calico hair after the meal. I'm like, that's where that came from. If you have cats, God bless you. But if you put them on the counter, God is going to judge you. God will judge you. But a potluck, everybody brings something. A buffet, no, you just show up and somebody else did the work, but there's an exchange that's going on. I paid this, so I get this, and people treat church like a buffet. I gave this, or my very presence of being here, but where's the contribution happening? Because partnership is truly a family. If you have a family, it is a partnership. You've all said, we're going to do this, so you have meetings. You have talks. You say everybody contributes and everybody has chores. And when are you going to do something around there? I don't know if you've said that in the last couple of days, but I'm sure there's some parents in here that have said that or they've said it to your spouse. But anyways, the point is this. A family is a partnership. And you know what partnership is? It's contributing. It's not just consuming. And we hear all this and go, you know what? That's what I want. Because when I look at this church, this Acts 9:31 church, so the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. They walked in the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it multiplied. And I'm going, man, there's one thing in here that it's an individual thing. There's one thing in this verse that's individual. See, you see built up, you see had peace, you see a comfort of the Holy Spirit multiplied. They walked in the fear of the Lord. That's the individual thing. See, the multiplication everybody gets at the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we're all in this unity. We all do our part to be unified. But to walk in the fear of the Lord, my question is, do you walk in the fear of the Lord? Well, I'm looking for a church that walks in the fear of the Lord. A church, we don't want the pastor too proud. We want to hear good preaching. We want it to stand on the Bible. We want that kind of church. But are we being the people that walk in the fear of the Lord? You know, that used to be a compliment. People used to say, man, that's a God-fearing man right there. That's a God-fearing woman right there. You know what you could believe when someone said that about someone? You could believe that they were going to do right in the business, that they'd do a job if it wasn't right. They were a God-fearing man, so they were going to make it right because they answered to God. That was a compliment, but this language is gone. People don't say that anymore. A God-fearing woman? She's going to do the right thing no matter what. You can count on her. If she said she's going to do this, she will do it. But we live in a day and time where we've created our own kingdoms or churches that's teaching a false gospel, that's one that works for us. We don't have a lot of accountability with things, and we say we attend a place or we're super devoted 1.6 times a month. We keep attending, and we don't serve. We give as convenience, and then we want God's very blessing, because the very blessing that God brought to this church is they walked in the fear of the Lord. And walking in the fear of the Lord doesn't mean you're cowering. It doesn't mean you're a legalist. For that compliment to be said to me that Keith Harrington walked in the fear of the Lord, I pray it wouldn't be like, oh, he was just simply scared of God. He was going to strike him dead. Now, that could be a good thing. Just trust me. To be like actually scared of God. We don't live in that because we've created all these different gods. And they shift at different times in our life. It's called sports. It's called travel. It's called experiences. It's called busyness. And we wonder why revival doesn't happen, because are we walking in the fear of the Lord? Because, man, fear of the Lord, there's also the comfort of the Holy Spirit. To know that when you go to bed at night and when you give everything you have and you leave it all out on the field, you know, like, it's all just up to the Lord. I want to see His faithfulness work. And when you're part of an organism and the body wins and you see the victory happen and You know it's because each individual took the intentionality to walk in the fear of the Lord. Each individual said, I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Because in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied. Your years and years are going to be added to your life. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. Listen to this. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. Scoff is not a common word anymore. Scoff, to mock, to be arrogant about. I would never scoff the word of the Lord. I'd never scoff the church of God. I would never scoff the body of Christ. But we do it all the time. We become arrogant people. I would never hang out with scoffers. Well, is there a humility that comes like underneath the power and the might of God? If you're really a man or a woman that fear the Lord, are you okay with looking for list number one of what the church you're called to should look like? Or the biblical commands of a church and saying, that's what I'm going to be. It starts with the fear of the Lord. I don't want to scoff the Lord, and I don't want to scoff his church. It's a devotion. And honestly, it comes down to who you're around. Because we often do in our life what's done around our life. Are you around other people that fear the Lord? Are you in community with other people that fear the Lord? Do you make a decision whether or not you're going to be in community on whether or not that group has childcare that will work for you? Well, I want the convenience of it really working on this night, and it has to work in this night. And they need to look just like me and act just like me. Do you understand the ragtag group of people that was the church that Jesus Christ built? Not preferences and styles, but Jesus Christ built it. And he built it with his words, and he built it with his actions, and it's all they had when he ascended up into heaven. They're like, now what do we do? Let's just cling to one another. What did he do? He gathered with 12 people. One of them even betrayed him. And even to the last day, they went after that one, and he was still seeking after the one. And when he was gone, the Lord brought someone else to be replaced, and then there were churches, and the churches, and gospel continued to spread everywhere. It's a beautiful thing. And the church is worth it, but we've got to be intentional. We have to be intentional, and if we're not, we will scoff the Lord. We will scoff wisdom because we're looking for our own peace. And he's worthy of being feared. He's worthy of being worshiped. Because from that fear is multiplication and being built up. And a list that defines a biblical church, because we have people that truly fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? See, it's as simple as the next step. So when we say each week, like, what's your next step? The most important decision of your life, did I surrender my life to Jesus? That's a great place to start. Like, I want to grow in my walk with him. I want a conversation. I want to come forward for prayer at the end of the service, because there's nothing else that matters more. I don't want to scoff the Lord by walking out one more time without working and dealing in this thing that's causing me to stumble, or this thing that's difficult, this relationship that's broken. I don't want to scoff God. No, I want to fear God. And I believe that God has given you a church body, gather and go, to say, I want to get into community with him. I don't know when I'm going to need it. I don't know when I'm going to be it, but that's what community looks like. My marriage is struggling. I want to work on it. I don't want to keep going like this. And it might be good, but you know how that cycle goes. It's going to come back around. I want to be equipped. Regen. I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ and other people. I want to be discipled. That's what it is. I want to follow him in baptism. I'm ready to take that step. That's what it means to be intentional. It's a next step. If you're watching online, it's a link right below. If you have the app, it's there all of the time. If you have this card, like, are you going to leave the same way you came in? Are you going to scoff? Are you going to fear the Lord? Are you going to gather with a body and say, man, God is doing something and I want to be part of it. I don't want to attend an event that God did something. I want to be part of it that God did something. And there's power in it. There's power in being intentional, and there's power in being an intentional church that fears the Lord. for he'll build it up, he'll multiply it, he'll bring the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the whole world will watch it and say, how did they do it? Because they did it because of the love they had for the Father. And it was manifest in a bunch of real stinking, awkward, completely different people across five services and soon to be multiple locations and maybe in other cities. Why? Because we fear the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And it's for his glory and his glory alone. Would you stand as we close singing together?
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.